fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Fire on the Earth. We're talking again today about what Jesus has done for us and how the Scripture helps us understand how we can connect fully to what Christ has done for us and what his purpose is for each and every one of our lives. Yesterday, I talked about a set of things that the Scripture reveals to us and the church teaches us. What did Jesus accomplish for us? What did he come to do? The first thing I said was to establish the Father's kingdom. Jesus was clear himself. He came, said, the time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. He came to take away sin. Number three, he came to destroy the work of the devil. Number four, he came to destroy death itself. He came to make us children of God. He came to give us eternal life. And he came to lead us to glory, to deification. That's where I ended yesterday, the amazing promise in the words of St. Peter in his second letter, chapter 1, verse 4. He said, we have in Christ, we've become partakers of the divine nature. It's amazing. God's plan and purpose for the human race is to literally not die and end up food for worms or be annihilated at the end of existence. And he's made us to live forever. And he's made a way for us to come into that eternal life through his son, Jesus Christ. Because all that stands in the way of it, all the hardship that we know so deeply, we've experienced in our own lives, we see in others, sickness, death, alienation, all the brokenness of this world, which we try constantly to fix and to deal with, we can't solve those problems because Jesus reveals to us, Jesus who is the truth, reveals to us very clearly that at the root of it is sin. We live in a fallen world. Not only is the world broken, we're broken. This good creation that God has made is fallen. You, the crown of God's creation, is you're fallen, you're broken, in need of salvation and redemption. That's why God sent forth his son into the world, to make it possible for you to literally become everything you were meant to be, to have the deepest longings and desires of your heart to be satisfied, the deepest longings at the core of your being, to see God, to be with God, to share in God's life. That's your destiny. Friend, that is such good news. And it doesn't matter where your life is at this moment. The circumstances of your life may be really difficult right now. You might be carrying tremendous burdens and tremendous hardship. And my heart goes out to you. Just pray God's blessing and encouragement for you today. But friend, don't give in to discouragement. That's not the final act. It's not the last word about your life. Here's where the spiritual battle often settles in, where in the context of circumstances that are profoundly difficult and we're really struggling and disappointment, discouragement, begin to lay hold of us. He wants to isolate us. He wants to convince us in this world that in an ever more total way seems to be closed off from God and the hope of heaven and the hope of eternal life. He doesn't want you to see beyond the circumstances you're in. He wants the hardship of that circumstance, the disappointment of that circumstance to define you. You're isolated. You're alone. Nobody cares. You'll never get through this. How could this ever happen to me if God loves me, if God even exists? All of that struggle inside, and it can go very, very deep, and that's the lie of the power of sin within us. It's a darkened mind that doesn't see clearly who we are, and the fundamental grace the Lord wants to be able to give you in that situation, and all of us as we're battling, is to lay hold of faith. Faith is a way of knowing. It's a way of receiving the revelation of Jesus Christ, who he is, all the things I just mentioned that Jesus has come to do, he's come to do for you. Faith is the way of seeing that truth and saying, yes, Lord, I accept your diagnosis of my life. And I not only accept your diagnosis of my life and my need for salvation and the need for the forgiveness of sins in my life and for me to turn my heart to you to the full, but I also receive all these things that you've done for me. You've brought me into my Father's kingdom. You've come to take away my sin. You have the last word in the battle with my mortal enemy, Satan. You've come to destroy his power. I don't have to battle him alone. you came to destroy and you've destroyed death's ultimate claim on my life. You swallowed up death in victory, and my destiny is not death. My destiny is instead to become what? A child of God. Jesus, I receive the power you've given me in baptism and through faith to be able to receive. As John tells us, you gave us power to become children of God. See what love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. There's the bottom line. That's the depth of the dignity of your life. Child of God. Inheriting what belongs to the Son. Full dignity of a child of God. And he's given you eternal life. Friend, today, lay claim to that. Stand in that. Your life is headed for ultimate fulfillment. Your life is headed to joy beyond compare, where there's no more crying, there's no more shame, there's no more sickness, no more pain. And this is not just pie in the sky, wishful thinking. It's not just a projection of what I want to have happen. We know it's true because Jesus Christ has passed from death to life. We know it's true because the apostles who knew him and taught him and walked with him tell us that the eternal life that was with the Father has appeared to us. And they believed it so deeply because they saw Jesus risen. They touched him. They walked with him. They know he passed from death to life. They were part of the whole drama. And they knew that the new creation was born in Jesus. The new thing God is doing, leading us from death to life. John 5:24, Jesus said, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. And he does not come to judgment, but is passed from death to life. It's through Jesus Christ, through our repentance and receiving his gospel, his good news, and entering the waters of baptism, and entering his church, and being part of his people, receiving the sacraments, the teaching of the church, entering his mission, and living the vocation we're called, even in the midst of struggle and disappointment. His will is accomplished in us. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. It can feel at times, friends, like the world is too much. The circumstances of life are too much. Don't ever forget. There's something greater in you than all of it. It's the power of Jesus Christ risen. It's that same power that St. Peter tells us will lead us to become partakers in the very nature of God, a sharing in Christ's glory, the majesty and the victory that belongs to him, which is fantastic. Now, the faith that is a gift that the Lord wants you to lay hold of. Faith, as I said, is a way of knowing who God is, knowing who we are in relationship to God. If faith is that thing that answers the question, the two questions I talked about earlier this week of St. Francis, asking God, who are you and who am I? Seeing Jesus and the truth that's revealed about each one of us in Jesus, the truth that he brings to us, it's what sets us free. And faith allows us to lay hold of it, to believe it, to hear it, to believe it, and to entrust our lives totally to him. To abandon ourselves in trust to God, to the one who's utterly trustworthy and who has the power and the capacity to lead us to eternal life. And here's 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 and following. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. John loves the word, you know, he uses the word terminology in the third chapter of his own gospel, that we're called to be born again by water and the Spirit. Baptism is essential. Baptism is the way, the means by which the Lord applies the power of his cross to our life and puts the old man to death, the death-directed man, the one who's dominated by the power of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Jesus puts it to death. And the old man that literally was born into that death-directed existence is put to death in baptism. How is that? By a miracle of God's grace, we're united to the cross of Jesus Christ, the one who died for us. He died in our place. So instead of us being the one who's crucified, instead of us being ultimately condemned for our sin, we're united to the victorious cross of Jesus Christ and his sacrifice. He puts his arms around you in baptism. He embraces you completely and everything that is his victory over the powers of sin and death, his eternal reign at the right hand of the Father, his sonship, his majesty, his love. He wraps his arms around you and he gives all of it to you. He saves you. He rescues you. And his love triumphs, right? Love ultimately will triumph. And faith is what unites us to him. So we enter the waters of baptism in faith and we live by faith. We receive the sacraments through our life through faith. When we fall by faith, we go to confession and we stand and sit in the presence of that priest who's another Christ for us. And he ministers the mercy and forgiveness and the love of Jesus Christ to us. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. By this we know that we love the children of God. When we love God and obey his commandments. Why does John say that? Well, he said, because it's very clear, we're called into a new way of living, which is the great commandments and the great commission, to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves, and to go make disciples of all nations. That's in essence what we're called to, holiness and mission. And so we ask the question, am I loving my neighbor? John puts it this way, by this we know that we love the children of God, our brothers and sisters. When we love God and we obey his commandments. It's so inspiring, challenging, convicting to see how often the Gospels and the New Testament tie love of God and obedience to commandments. Obedience to the commandment and the commandments of God is the way we express love for God. Jesus said so clearly, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Here's the gigantic disconnect that you see in the culture so deeply. Even many Catholics and national polls of Catholics taken, what they think about things that are popular in the culture today, you know, premarital sex or contraception or abortion or same-sex marriage, whatever it is, all these things that have to do with God's plan and purpose for human sexuality. Very large numbers of Catholics say they both believe God and I suppose love God, but at the same time, they fully embrace things that are opposed to God's commandments. And Jesus is so clear. He said he doesn't just measure it by virtue, love by virtue of the sentiments that we feel. Or it's not a matter of Jesus saying, look, I just want you to be true to yourself. Whatever you think yourself is, whatever you think is right for you, that's what I want to affirm. That's sort of the craziness in the air today that a lot of people relate to God that way, that God exists to affirm my choices in my life. That's because we've idolized choice. When you become a disciple, there's one fundamental choice you make. As I said earlier in the week, to die to yourself, to say yes to God. And if we love God, we'll keep his commandments. We can't fool ourselves. And this is what the apostles underline again and again and again. It's so important for us to be able to see that. Now, we may fall. We may not always keep the commandments, and we repent and we keep moving on. God doesn't judge us for that. He calls us back to repentance and he receives us. But we can't pretend that we're simply going to live a pattern of life that we think is right for us, that is offensive to God, and say at the same time, I'm a Catholic and I love God. It doesn't work that way. I'm going to pick this theme up again tomorrow. Hope you can join me. God bless you. Have a great day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.